Hi, this is Carol Leatham, and you're listening to the Radical Radiance podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome back to another episode of Radical Radiance. I'm Rebecca George, your host, and I'm excited to explore all four Advent themes with you in our series called Prepare Him Room. This is episode 3, all about joy. We've got a fantastic guest joining us today, my friend Carol Leatham, author of Are You Ready to Find Joy When Life Gets Messy? Carol's wisdom and encouragement, I just know it will be such an encouragement to you today. A quick reminder, if you are looking for a meaningful way to journey through Advent this year, join us by ordering Prepare Him Room, Radical Radiance Interactive Advent Devotional on Amazon today. It's designed to lead you through these four conversations with journal prompts, scripture for reflection, discussion questions, and fun activities and recipes. You can use this Christmas season as you prepare room in your heart to celebrate the birth of Jesus and what His earthly ministry means for us today as followers of Christ. So let's jump right into this conversation about joy. But before we do, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss any of the amazing conversations we're having over here at Radical Radiance. Now, get ready for an amazing conversation. Help me welcome your friend and mine, Carol Leatham, to the show. Carol, I am so excited to welcome you to Radical Radiance. Thank you for being here with me today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Oh, me too. I have been looking forward to this episode for so long. And when I was thinking about Preparing Him Room and this series that we're doing around Advent, and I thought about all four Advent themes, right? Hope, peace, joy, and love. When I thought about joy, you were the logical first person that came to mind, which is really such a gift. So next week, listeners will hear my conversation with Rachel Adams all about love. Mm-hmm. And I love how God has placed these people in my life who embody these things so beautifully. And I feel that way about you, about joy.
Thank you.
And I'm just really excited to have this conversation with you today. And so we're in the middle of a series all about preparing Him Room, preparing our hearts to celebrate Jesus's birth and what that truly means for us today. And so when I say that phrase, preparing Him room, what comes to your mind in your own heart and life, maybe that as you think about Advent this year needs to shift, right, in order to make space for all God wants to show us during this season?
Well, two things come to mind. The first thing is something that I've been really working on. I have discovered that I am a live out there type person. And so while I'm here in this place right now, I have a tendency to focus on what's happening out there. So I actually have a post-it note on my computer that I put up here a few days ago that says, reel it back in, Carol, focus on what's happening right now. And so I think with the Christmas season and the Advent season, we get pulled in so many different directions that I think that's really, really critical to focus on now, this moment, what's important. The second thing is I always, always, always read two sets of scriptures at the Advent Christmas time. The first one is Luke 2, 1 through 7, and it is the beginning of the story of Jesus' birth. And it's the story where the innkeeper really misses Christmas because he's so busy. He misses the whole Jesus thing. He doesn't have room in the inn. And so he misses what could have been an incredible experience. But then when you go out into the field and you see the shepherds not only were all in, they were willing to walk off the job to go find Jesus when the angels came. And so I think for me, that again points to we have to live in the moment so that we don't miss what's happening. And then the second scripture is Luke 22, which for me is so critical because I think at Christmas we get caught up in the birth, but we forget about the gift of why Jesus came. Yeah. So I always go back and focus Luke 22. And my favorite part of that story is when Jesus is heading to the garden the night before he's arrested. Yeah. And Luke says he headed to the garden as usual, meaning he usually, and I get chills when I read that, as usual. So what do we usually do? So I reel back in and focus on what do we usually do at this time and how can I live in that moment?
That's so good. So good. I love that so much. Well, as we talk about things like hope, things like peace, joy, I think it can help us all to just define that a little bit, because especially particularly with joy, I think out in the world, we can see joy in many different ways, right? That are in some opposition to how we truly should rightly see joy in light of scripture, right? And so my husband, my sweet husband, Dustin, actually worked on this definition in a sermon series he did not all that long ago for joy. And he kind of defined it as an abiding delight by abiding in Christ. So an abiding delight by abiding in Christ. And so when you think about that verbiage, I mean, you even just took like an exhale, right?
I know, I did.
When we read that out loud, right? What comes to your mind in addition to that? You've written a lot about joy. You've talked a lot about joy. And so as you sat with this topic, how would you define it, you know?
So I love Dustin's definition. Because for me, abiding is really the root, the key, because abiding means to remain, to stay. And it's an action word. It means I get to choose where I'm going to abide, where I'm going to stay, where I'm going to focus. And I think when we think about the idea of joy, I always come back to joy is this pleasure. It's this excitement. It's this happy word. And so how do I combine joy? Because you know that I come from a really crazy, chaotic life right now. Yeah. For the last 7 years, it's been just crazy, chaotic. So how do I find joy when my circumstances might not look joyful or feel joyful? And it comes from the word abide, stay. I'm choosing to put my trust in God. I'm choosing to put my focus there. And no matter what's going on around me, we can have joy, because our joy is not in the circumstances. Our joy is in the Lord.
The Rebecca's Reads book for December is A Warrior Mama's Prayers, A Year of Praying Scripture Over My Child by Bethany Kimsey. Praying for your children is vital, and Bethany gives you a guide of prompts, scripture to reflect on, and space to journal as you dedicate time in prayer for your kids. You'll pray for the gospel to bear fruit, for their character, the spiritual battles they will face, and more. Get your copy of A Warrior Mama's Prayers by Bethany Kimsey, or grab a copy as a Christmas gift for your favorite mama on Amazon today. Are you looking for the perfect planner and journal for your time with Jesus? I want to share Wholehearted's Quiet Time Companion with you. Keep all of your prayer lists, memorization goals, learning notes, daily journal entries, and more neatly organized. I have used the Quiet Time Companion for a long time and can personally speak to how it has drawn me deeper into the delight of spending time with Jesus each day. Go grab one for yourself or for your best friend as a Christmas gift by visiting wholeheartedquiettime.com and use the code, all caps, Rebecca20 today. Yes, yes. And that original language for abide means to be held or kept.
Yes.
And that just gives me chills to think about, you know, we are held and kept by Him. And only because of that can we have true, lasting joy that is, as you're saying, completely outside of our set of life circumstances. So, oh, it's so good. Okay. Well, we're unpacking a couple of scriptures as we, in each of these episodes, as we think about the particular topic that we're talking about. So here today with joy, we're going to take a quick look at James 1. So I'm going to read this passage for us. And I can't help but begin here when I think about joy and how often it's forged in us during seasons of suffering. And I know that there will be people listening to this episode who are walking through what seems and feels like not a joyful Christmas season this year. So I want to read this over us. I'm going to start in verse 2. So verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Mm-hmm. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be found perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so this is a big question, because I know your story, right? But how has living out this truth, what's that looked like in your life as you found joy in Him?
So 7 years ago, my life totally fell apart. my husband was a pastor. We were like on this beautiful fast track where I was speaking and teaching. He was a pastor of a church. We had grandchildren. And one day, overnight, it was just all a mess. He began to struggle with anxiety, depression, and became suicidal. And this scripture is so critical to me because the morning after I left him in a psychiatric hospital, I was sitting in an empty room praying because I'm going to God. I'm looking for calm. I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for assurance. I'm looking for just anything that I can glean. And I opened my scripture to where I would be reading normally at that day. You know, I had the little ribbon and I opened it up and I started reading in James chapter one. And when I got to this, consider it all joy, I slammed my Bible shut. I threw it on the couch. And I'm like, really, God? This is ridiculous. I am just, I don't even know where he is. I mean, I don't even know what's going to happen. How in the heck do you think that I can have joy? And I sat there literally for a few minutes, just kind of breathing and praying and just saying, what are you trying to tell me? And I opened my Bible back up and I read a parallel. So I have one version, I have the translation on one side and I have the Message on the other side. Said, okay, God, obviously you had something for me here. So I opened it back up. I started reading. And when you get to the next verse in verse 3, it says in the Message, you know that under pressure, your faith life is going to be on display for everyone to see. And I took a deep breath because I've been walking with Jesus for a long, long time. And I really do trust him. And as chaotic as my life was, I knew I could trust him. And I really felt the Holy Spirit at that moment just really impress on me, I'm here. I'm going to walk through this with you. But then I went back and read verse 2 again. And I had never, it was like in a poof, one of those moments, because it doesn't say if. It says when, which speaks truth into all of our lives. We think that a life with Jesus is going to be this easy, calm, no problem life. And when something happens, then we think we're doing something wrong or we're being punished. But what God is saying is when life's trials come, because they are going to be trials, I'm going to be right there with you. And you're going to come out on the other side of it stronger. And I would say that I am closer and stronger. Now, there are times when I'm on that carpet right behind me, face down on the floor, screaming, crying, begging God to help me. But I can always come back to joy because, like I said a few minutes ago, my joy is in him. It's in him. It's in, not in my circumstances. And so I kind of used to say my life is falling apart. And then over the course of the last 7 years, I say my life is not falling apart. It's falling into his plan.
That's right. It's falling into his plan. That's a beautiful way to see it for listeners who may be coming today and just thinking, man, I'm right where Carol is today. I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to see that passage in James in the right way. When we right side up our expectations and our preferences and things and line that up with clearly, I know and I trust God is at work around me. I know he is sovereign over my circumstances, over my story. And my joy in him does not hinge on what's happening around me. So good. Well, I was looking at, you mentioned Luke 2 a few minutes ago, and we can't talk about joy in this episode and not touch on that passage. And I was looking at some cross-references as I was reading and looking at the word joy. And it's interesting, the original word for joy in Luke 2:10, when the angel appears to the shepherds, is the same word joy that's used in Romans 12:2 when Paul is talking about fixing our eyes on Jesus in light of the cross. And so one of the definitions that I found for that original language is calm delight, which I thought is just so beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm actually going to read those two passages for us, Luke 2, verses 8 through 14, and then I'll get into Romans 12. So this is verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. and this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Then I'm going to read Romans 12 verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What bubbles up in you as I read those two passages?
Well, the first thing that bubbles up, I love Luke 2. I love the picture of these shepherds out there in the middle of nowhere, watching their sheep in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, this angel is right there in front of them. And his first words are, don't be afraid. Because, of course, that would be my go-to.
That would be my go-to.
But the angel says, don't be afraid. And I think, okay, it's a quiet night. All of a sudden, there's an angel. Don't be afraid. Have joy. Have calm delight. It's chaos. And then all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of angels. And it's like, like I said a few minutes ago, these shepherds were all in. And so when I look at my chaotic, crazy life sometimes, because I'm now 8 years into this, there's times where I just feel the Holy Spirit bubble up with that calm, saying, just have that calm, just rest in me, just have that joy. And we're going to get through this. And looking for those moments where I can find that joy. And then, of course, Romans, when it says there's a cloud of witnesses, I love that God puts people in our lives that point us to Jesus, because for me, that's what it's all about.
That's
right. When life gets crazy and chaotic, there's not been one moment during this journey that I have ever doubted that God was not right there with me. And I kind of think that it's for those of your listeners who are in chaos right now, who are in pain, who don't know how they're going to just take another breath. I think it's important to know that there's other people out there that feel the same way. And today breathing is a little easy for me, but tomorrow it might be heavy again. And what I have learned is the secret of living with the fear of whatever the circumstances are, but having that calm delight because I'm resting in him. So I'm living with the fear, but I'm not living in the fear.
And I think that helps us see rightly that, you know, we are human, right? And so it's not that we're going to reach this beautiful moment in our life where we're no longer going to experience fear because we live in the midst of a broken world. But in the midst of that, we know where to turn, right? And so that's what matters. So I love that you explain it that way. Okay, so we have some fun questions because we can't talk about Christmas. We can't talk about Advent without talking about traditions and recipes and all the fun things that come with this season as well. So one of my favorite questions to ask is, what is your favorite Advent or Christmas tradition, something that you do with your family that you look forward to every year?
Christmas lights and Christmas decorations. I have 7 grandchildren and they range in age from 16 down to 2. And so we have a lot of crazy chaos and fun when we're all together. And we are a theme park family. So it's
I love.
I know. So it is not uncommon. In fact, we will be heading to a theme park for Christmas decorations very shortly as a family. We all have memberships. Once every year we get a membership to a different theme park, and then we call it, you know, Fridays we pull the kids out of school and we go or whatever. And we love Christmas decorations, or just loading in the car with hot chocolate and cookies and driving through neighborhoods just looking for the most over-the-top decorations, and then maybe even having a contest. Which one was your favorite? Which one was your favorite? And I think for me, we have a 2-year-old, so this is going to be her first year of just really taking it all in. And there's something special about when I go to see my son, who has the 4 youngest ones, And I turn on the Christmas tree every morning, get my coffee and sit down. And as the kids start to come down and wake up, watching the wonder in their eyes as we see the lights. And so this year I'm so excited because I know from experience that the two-year-old is going to experience it in such an incredible way. So I want to kind of, it's our probably our last and youngest grandchild. And so I want to just take that special moment in.
Yeah. Yeah. Savor it. That's awesome. They're going to be such a fun age. I love that so much. Okay. Do you have a favorite recipe that you love making around the holidays? And would you be willing to share it with us?
Okay. Well, I'm not a cook.
Okay.
So all the years that I was a young mom and we would go to family Christmas, they would always ask me to bring the pies. And I would always laugh because they would want homemade. So I would go to one of the grocery stores or one of the restaurants that had great pies and I would buy the pies. And so over the years, I've just accepted that cooking and baking is not in my wheelhouse.
It does not have to be.
No. So
there's some freedom for those listening who feel the same way, you know?
Yeah. And if you have family like mine, it is really easy to take two spatulas, pull the pie out of the marked pie that has the label, put it into your own pie thing. And there have been times where I have done that because I have family members who would not eat it if it wasn't homemade.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I've just kind of blown my Christmas secret. But here's what
I think it's great.
But here's what we do. I buy ready-made pizza dough and every topping that I can think of under the sun.
Yeah.
And lay it out on the table. And every one of my grandchildren gets a little ball of pizza dough. And you have to create a Christmas-shaped pizza.
Well, how fun is that?
And then decorate it. And so we get everything from ornaments to Christmas trees to – we got a Christmas llama one year.
I love this.
And so there's really no recipe, but just get store-bought pizza dough. Break it into little pieces and let each one of the family create.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, and that's fun too, because pizza is not in the list of typical things I eat around Christmas time. So I'm always thinking, what could I make that isn't going to be like what I'm going to eat at that party tomorrow? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
So to make pizza would be a really fun craft/meal for people. So. I love that one. That's fun. Okay. Well, to take a hard right turn, you know that one of my favorite questions that I ask every guest that comes on Radical Radiance is the following question. And the show, if listeners are new, really has a heart to equip women in how they can see more clearly how to radiate the heart of Jesus in their life, their work, their relationships. It all goes back to this verse in Psalm 34. It's verse 5, and it says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered in shame.
Right.
And so the question I love asking, Carol, in this season of your life, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
Well, I have to back up to verse 4, leading into verse 5.
Yeah.
I know. I just have to do it because verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces are never ashamed. And so I think what makes me a radical, radiant woman is that I love telling my story. Chaotic messiness, and I love doing it with a big smile on my face.
Yeah,
and you know that I love when people get to ask me about my story, and I can with a huge smile on my face tell them the gory details. And there's a lot of times when people take a step back and go, "There's a disconnect here because what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is not the same." And I think what I want is for people to hear my story, see my smile. Wonder how in the world I'm not a puddle on the floor. And then I can say, only Jesus.
Yeah.
Only Jesus.
Only Jesus.
Because he was there before the mess. He's there with me in the mess. He's going to just keep showing up. And for me, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, I want you to share with listeners a little bit more about your ministry, about your book. I know those who are coming to the conversation today and want to hear more of your story and want to be encouraged by it would love to pick up your book. And so I just want to give you time to tell listeners all about that.
So my husband was a pastor. He began to struggle with anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideation, and he had to retire. And so 8 years ago, we started this journey where it landed him in a psychiatric hospital. And I realized the morning after when James 1 became part of my life, that God had a plan. And it sounds bizarre that in the middle of the chaos, I could say God had a plan. But I found myself saying, who do I trust with this? Yeah. Who do I call? Who's not going to judge me? Who's going to help me but not tell me, and I don't want this to come off wrong, but just buy all these essential oils and he'll be fine.
Yeah,
you know, it was so much more critical. And at that moment, I just felt God say to me, and there's a whole lot of backstory that I can now see because that's kind of how we do. And so I began to look for help, and I could not find help for me, the caregiver, the person who's having to navigate medication, navigate psychiatrist, navigate hospital, navigate insurance, navigate our bills, navigate everything. Mm. I couldn't find help or support. And after my second therapist fired me by saying, I just got nothing. I don't know how to help you. And I don't want to keep taking your money. I just began a journey with God of figuring out how to deal with it. And about 3 years into it, my best friend at the time, a beautiful Nigerian woman, said to me, and I sometimes try to mimic her beautiful accent, but I'm not going to. She just said to me, Carol, and I can see her and hear her in my head saying this to me, Carol, why are you still looking for help? Look at what you've done. You need to help people. And so I wrote a book. And I did it first as a cathartic healing, meaning I'm not going to put this out there. But then my husband said, no, he read it. And he's like, no, you need to tell people how God is helping us. You need to tell people our story. And he wrote the foreword for the book so that from the beginning, people know he is not only supportive, but he has is in agreement with everything I write. And it's basically just how I survive his struggles. Because he's still, you know, he struggles and, you know, we do all of these different things and there's different dynamics to mental illness that come out in his life that maybe somebody else won't have to. But the bottom line is every caregiver needs the same things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we need to found the spiritual foundation. We need the emotional foundation. We need to build up the physical foundation and the mental foundation and all of those things coming together. So my book is called, Are You Ready to Find Joy When Life Gets Messy? And it's the subtitle is How I'm Surviving My Husband's Struggles with Anxiety, Depression, and Suicidal Thoughts.
Yeah.
And my ministry is based on telling people how much, it's a love story of how much I love my husband.
Yeah.
It's a love story of how much God loves me. And I'm getting to share some of the practical ways that I cope, but also some showing people the spiritual ways that God just shows up over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay, say the name of the book one more time, and where can people find you? Website, Instagram, all those things.
So my ministry is Carol, Carol's Journey, Carol with an E, C-A-R-O-L-E, apostrophe S, Journey. And that's my social media handle. So if you just put in Carol's Journey anywhere, it'll pop up. My website is carolsjourney.com. And my book is called Are You Ready to Find Joy When Life Gets Messy? And it's available wherever books are sold.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, friend, I could not be more thankful for how God is using a hard story for his glory and how you've just opened yourself up to that, right? That's a really vulnerable thing to do. And I just love seeing how God is just using your story in the lives of your readers. And so I'm excited for our friends to listen to this episode. And if as you listened, you thought, you know, of course, I took some nuggets from this, but I have somebody in my life who is a caregiver, is walking through a season with their spouse or a close friend who's struggling with mental illness. Just be mindful as you close out this episode of could you gift this book to someone for Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. So as we're kind of walking through this series, all of the friends that I'm bringing on these episodes have written books, have produced resources that I think will really encourage us. And so this is one that I want everybody to know about. So Friend, I'm so thankful for you and your ministry and how God is working through you. And thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us for this special Advent series called Prepare Him Room here on the Radical Radiance podcast. I hope this conversation with Carol Letham has left your heart just brimming with joy and anticipation for the Advent season. Don't forget to grab your copy of Prepare Him Room, Radical Radiance Interactive Advent Devotional on Amazon today. It's a wonderful companion for diving deeper into these four Advent themes, complete with journal prompts, reflective scriptures, discussion questions, and even activities and recipes to celebrate this season with intention. As we close out today's episode, I want to invite you to hit that subscribe button so you can stay connected with all of the conversations we're having over here on Radical Radiance. Remember, as we journey through Advent and beyond, let's continue to shine the heart of Jesus in our work, in our lives, in our relationships. Next episode, I'll be back with a conversation all about love, where I sit down with my friend Rachel Adams. You don't want to miss it. I'll see you then.